Happy Mother's Day again to all you moms. I invite the ushers to come forward this morning. Again, thank you for your faithfulness in giving to Him. May your day be extremely blessed. If you have a Bible handy this morning, hey, did you guys catch that verse I sent you? Catch the new one, 1 Corinthians 11. I emailed it. You got it? Good. We're good to go. I picked another verse to start with here this morning. If you have a Bible handy, I'll invite you to open it with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here this morning. And I always enjoy Mother's Day and Father's Day and days like this where we can do what I would call a topical message and really focus in on not just motherhood, but womanhood today, and celebrate the mothers in our church, the women in our church. And we celebrate the men as well, because as the men would say on a day like this, it's Mother's Day, but if there wasn't a father, there wouldn't be a mother. Amen. So, hey, but we'll take a back seat today. That's why you get to go first. We just remember Father's Day is next month. No, but today, if I put a title to this, it would be Celebrate the Sacrifice. And to celebrate the sacrifices that mothers make, women make, in the life of not just a family and a home, but we can look around our church family as well. And what a tremendous blessing the moms are and the women are of this church and who we are today. So much of it is because of who they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a verse there that it's a good kickoff for this here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And I wanted to read this to you and then take a moment here and pray. And Paul is talking about the order, you know, in the church that the men are to be the heads of their homes, the head over their wife, the wives are over their children. It's not a value statement. It's an order statement. And he says something here. How many were raised Catholic? Are you raised in a Catholic church? There's a lot of us. And I don't know if you ever really understood why a woman wore a head covering, but this kind of puts things into perspective for us here. It says, but among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men. And men are not independent of women. We need each other. That's what this all leads to. We wouldn't have a Mother's Day without fathers, and we wouldn't have a Father's Day without mothers. That's really the perspective here. It says, for although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman, and everything comes from God. And you can go back and you can read this. And so what it's talking about there, the reason that a man, his head is uncovered, because he comes directly from God, where a woman was taken from the side of men in this aspect of worship. She covered herself, that she's the glory of her husband, where the man is the glory of God. And that's where the head covering came in there. I don't know how it gets twisted through the years, but hopefully that puts things into perspective a little bit for you. But I really wanted to focus in on this today. When I think about the sacrifice of motherhood here, when it says in verse 12, it says, for although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman. And we definitely have a debt of gratitude today to you moms that are here and the women in our church that serve in so many different capacities of ministry, especially caring for our children. And we just pray that God would bless you today and that as men, we would learn how to honor you and to celebrate you. And we want to do that today. And so we'll open up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our moms today. Lord, I know for myself, my mom's in heaven today. And so there's a bittersweetness about today of not being able to go over and love her and hug on her and tell her that I love her. And yet I know one day I'll get to see her again in heaven. And I just thank you for the investment she made into my life. I thank you for the moms that, Lord, have gone before us, that the lives of their kids are, in a sense, they're hurting today because they miss their mom and the sweet memories and the life that she lived. And yet I know that there's women here today and men alike who are estranged from their mom. They didn't have a good relationship with their mom. And yet, Lord, just that passage that we read, Lord, we still owe a debt of gratitude no matter what, because God, we're here. We're alive because someone gave birth to us. And may we find those silver linings in the clouds, Lord, sometimes that hang over our heads, and give you all the praise and the glory, because regardless of anything, Lord, we have a wonderful Father in heaven who loves us perfectly. And thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And when we gather in this place, that's why we're here, Lord, is to love you. And the way that we love you is demonstrated by the way we love each other. It's not what we say, but Lord, what we do that matters most. And so, Lord, help the moms today, not just to hear things that would encourage their heart, and we hope that they are encouraged, but Lord, that they would see evidence by the way that we treat them, Lord, that they feel love today. And Lord, thank you. That love that we share comes from you. We pray that, Lord, your peace would rule our hearts today as we open up your word, that for each of us, God, we'd be transformed more into your image. And we give you the praise and the glory today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that's it's funny. I always ask my wife, hey, what would be a good topic to speak on Mother's Day? And year in and year out, she always deals with the issue of just the struggles of what it is to be a mom, the sacrifices that moms make, and just to encourage the moms as she in women's ministry talks with women, and just those are the things year in and year out. This year, I didn't even ask her because the Lord just a couple months ago put something on my heart, and I just began to study it. And the problem I was having is I was involved with so many studies and things on our church campus and other ministries that I'm involved with and teach at and speak at, and so I was having to try to carve out 15 minutes a day to do this and then 15 minutes a day in each study that I was doing. And I was enjoying all of them. But this one was the most because it was, I don't know, we've ever just been reading the Bible and all of a sudden something just comes alive to you. Everybody else probably already knows it. You feel dumb when you even tell somebody because they're going, oh, I've known that. I've shared that with you before. I have little kids that come up to me. They go, Pastor Mike, do you know John 3:16? I don't want to go, yeah. Of course I do. I'm the pastor of the church. See, I go, no, I don't know it. And then I think, oh my gosh, they're going home and telling their parents, Pastor Mike doesn't even know John 3:16. Why do you go there? So I get those. I just tell you, I have those feelings, those insecurities. I'm studying this, but I'm so excited about it. I won't even talk to my wife about it. I said, I'm not even going to tell you until Mother's Day. And so I was able to talk with her afterwards and stuff. But I know this, when every time we gather in this place, this is the goal of pastoral teaching. Anybody that stands in this pulpit should have two goals every single time we teach. One is to magnify Jesus, right? Is to draw all the attention to him because he is worthy of our praise, right? The Bible says for every one of us, man, woman, child, we're here to love God with what? All of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. But then second is to edify and to encourage, to build each other up. Because the second commandment is likened unto the first that says what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. So when I look at a service like this, I know that it's a great opportunity because people say, why are we going to focus on mothers? And you go, because God does all throughout the Bible. And we're called to come together and to celebrate each other. There's nothing sinful. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not taking anything away from God by appreciating what God has done with human life. We're here because God created us, but he did it through the means of a mother and father. And so to have a Sunday like this, and whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day, any other time, to be able to point people to Jesus as the source of life, and then to appreciate the givers of life. Eve was called Eve because she was the mother of all living. And I love that about Eve's name. And we'll get into this morning what a difference that makes. But I don't want to push a message so far, and this can happen, that we elevate women to a place that it puts so much pressure on them, they just go, man, I can't live up to that. That's why I'm not doing Proverbs 31 today, right? No, women will do that. They go, hey, Pastor Mike, we're not going to do Proverbs 31, are we? I go, I might have some verses in there. I go, but not the whole thing. They go, oh, that just always discourages me. And I'm going, hey, it was given by a woman. This is a woman talking to her son, okay? Don't shoot the messenger. But it's not to discourage you. It's to encourage you in your relationship with the Lord. But I know, and this is where, to me, it was really funny. So I was praying about this. Like, okay, Lord, I don't want to go too far and put an undue stress on moms or take things out of perspective. There's a balance in scripture with it. And all I can tell you is this. I go, women need Jesus just as much as men. Amen? And the Bible says, for all have what? Sinned. Now, but if you talk to your kids, they'll say, Dad's a sinner. But moms, she's angelic. They understand that. What was that? What was the old rhyme that little boys are made out of puppy dog tail? But girls are what? Sugar and everything. Yeah, you go, okay. But we're sinners saved by grace. And so I think to put this in perspective, I'd ask my wife about this. I said, is this really a true statement? And she's like, yeah. And so I want to share this with you from the get-go here this morning. We're all in need of Jesus. So we're celebrating motherhood today. We're celebrating the women of our church. But we recognize that we're all sinners saved by God's grace. Amen? So we all agree on that. That's the platform, right? But it was called the perfect dress. And I love this because I asked my wife, I go, is this like in the heart of a woman? I don't know. And she's after I shared it, she's, oh, and it was titled The Perfect Dress. And it says, the wedding day was fast approaching and everything was ready and nothing could damper Jennifer's excitement, not even her parents' nasty divorce. Her mother, Sheila, found the perfect dress to wear and she would be the best dressed mother of the bride ever. It says, a week later, Jennifer was horrified to learn that her new young stepmother, Barbie, had purchased the same dress. She had asked Barbie, please, to exchange the dress because her mother had it. But Barbie refused. She said, absolutely not. I'm going to wear this dress and I'll look like $1 million in it. Jennifer told her mother, who graciously replied, she said, honey, never mind, dear. I'll just get another dress. After all, it's your special day, not mine. 2 weeks later, another dress was found. It says, and when they stopped for lunch, Jennifer asked her mom, she said, Mom, what are you going to do with that first dress? She goes, are you going to return it and get your money back for it? You don't have any other place to wear it. Sheila grinned and she smiled to her daughter and she says, of course I have somewhere to wear it, honey. I'm going to wear it to the rehearsal dinner. Now, only the women in this church can ask, would you? And in first service, I had two women come and she goes, Pastor Mike, I would not do that. I thought I would do it. And I go, that isn't that kind of like doing it? Yeah, I still would have to repent before God. And I'm like, yes, you would there. But we really do want to celebrate the sacrifice today of moms. And yet I realize that Mother's Day can be a really difficult day. And scripture speaks to that. I think of understanding for you moms, and I've been so blessed through the years. We've had great moms in this church, and you love your kids with all of your heart. And some of you, unfortunately, have probably loved them too much, not realizing, and we've had to walk through this a few times in teachings. We've done this in women's ministry, done it from the pulpit here on Mother's Day. And I'm always reminded of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. Hannah was, she was barren. She was infertile. And I have something I want to speak to infertility here in just a second. But Hannah, again, and I love this about the Bible, is being a Christian, being a follower of God, we go through the same hurts and heartaches as the rest of the world. We just don't do it without hope. We have hope because of God. But Hannah, she's in deep anguish, it says, and she was crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. If you remember the story, she goes to the temple there and Eli's the high priest, and she's in such anguish, her lip is quivering, right? Have you ever been in that kind of anguish? I know I have. And you're literally, your lip is quivering. And she's crying out to God. And it says, and she made this vow. She said, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look on my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime and as a sign that has been dedicated to the Lord, not a hair in his head will be cut. She was going to make a Nazirite vow. He was completely, everything about his life would be dedicated to the Lord. And this shows you someone who's willing to make a sacrifice. What a sacrifice to bear a child into this world, have him, and then give him back to God. But it serves as a great reminder for both moms and dads today that your children aren't yours. They belong to God. They are on loan to you. And sometimes that's a difficult thing, the way that we can act and respond, not realizing the choices that your kids make is they have a free will and they can love God. They can honor God. Yes, they're yours for a short season of time, but ultimately they belong to him. And yet when I think about this and especially when my wife was reminding me that there's a lot of women that are discouraged today in the world and the things that we're up against as the clock runs down on this life. And I think as we live in these last days, it's a struggle to be a mom. The pains that you feel in your heart, the worry, the anxiety that grips you as you think about your children being out there and the choices that they have. I'm reminded as I go through scripture that there are some women who want children, but they can't have children. There's some that had children and lost children, whether it was a miscarriage in the womb or it was an accident after the baby was born and lost them. I know that there's women that have actually had abortions and that pregnancy was terminated while in the womb. I know that there's some children who have, or parents, or excuse me, moms that have children who are live far away. You love your kids and they love you, but you have hardly any relationship with them. And that just, it just breaks your heart. You feel like at times, gosh, am I so selfish? And you go, no, they're a part of you. They're a part of your life. And yet they're so distant. And then there's some that your children are estranged from you. You love them, and there's something broken in that relationship and nothing of your own. And there's a yearning there for reconciliation, but there's nothing that you can do about it. So I know that Mother's Day, yes, it's a great day of celebration, but I would be amiss to say that there's not a lot of moms, godly moms, that they're hurting today, even on Mother's Day. And so I get it. I'll have women that'll come to me in a couple of weeks. They'll go, "Hey, Pastor Mike, hey, I listened to the message, part of it online." They go, "Because I can't come to church." They go, and some of it can be good reasons. They go, "I had such a wonderful relationship with my mom. Going there, I would just cry the whole time." And they go, "And so I just stay home and be by myself." And I get that, and we honor that. And then there's others that say, "You know what? I hated my mom." And they go, "I'm sorry that I'm using that language, but she was so cruel. She wasn't a Christian." And some would even say, "My mom professed to be a Christian, and she just treated me horribly." And so they go, coming on a Mother's Day, it just rips the scab off, and I have to deal with it all over again. And the thing that the Lord always brings me back to, and it's really, you know, the thing that I think I learned the most this year in just my own study and what I want to share with you, is we still owe them, like Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, regardless of how good or not how good that relationship was, is you're here today because somebody brought you into this world. And for that, there's a respect and there's an honor that's due. And then we just have to trust the Lord to bring healing, you know, in the other places of our life. But when I think about especially infertility today, we support, you know, some ministries here in our community that help families. And it's such a growing number. You know, 17.5, almost 18% of the world's population deals with infertility. And that's 1 in 6 people. So that's a lot of people. And so beginning in this and celebrating the sacrifice, I know that there's some hurt that comes with Mother's Day. And I wanted to share these things with you. There's 3 things I wanted to draw out before I really jump into just celebrating mothers, is understanding this about infertility. Maybe you're here today and you want a child and you're questioning God. "God, why have you allowed this? Why can't I have a baby? I want a baby." And I just wrote some things down. I just wanted to share with you real quick, very briefly here, but just maybe the Lord would use this to help bring some comfort if you're in that place where you're wanting a child and you have been unable to conceive at this point. Number one is God's delays are not his denials. Sometimes God just delays for some reason. It's not happening, but God's timing is perfect. God is a providential God, and he's omnipotent. And so if God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. We see that obviously in the life of Jesus being born into this world through a virgin birth here, right? But I know that as we go through scripture, there's all kinds of women noteworthy that were infertile in scripture, and God used them and then ultimately blessed them at some point down the line. Now, I don't recommend this, but Sarah was what? She was what, 99 years old when she had a baby? I wouldn't recommend you, if you're 99, don't be asking God for a baby at that point. It just won't go over well in society. But nonetheless, 99, you think about that. You think about Rebecca, dealt with the same thing of infertility. Jacob's 2 wives, both Leah and Rachel, were both infertile and struggling. I think of John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth. Again, she was infertile and then got pregnant, and then God opened up the womb. And God's delays aren't his denials. And I think those are in there in scripture to encourage us and not to lose hope, but to trust God. The second thing is there are some wombs that God has closed, because the second thing I would tell you is that his plan wasn't that you would bear children, but that you would adopt or that you would be foster parents. And one of the things that I appreciate about that is we're all adopted into the family of God. Amen. I love when you think about adoption. And I know when I was born, and this sincerely, my parents telling me, they go, "Michael, when you were born," because my dad couldn't be in there. He had to wait out in the waiting room back in that day, right? And he's, What do I have? And the doctor's, "We don't know. We have to shave him to find out." He goes, "You were so hairy." She goes, "It was crazy." She goes, "You had so much hair on you." And I was like, "Oh." She goes, so my dad was like, "Yeah, you don't get to choose your kids. You just have them. And sometimes you have to shave them just to figure out what they are." And they go, "But in adoption, you get to choose in that respect. And we serve a choosing God," right? He's chosen us. And to think, and I love those stories, chicken soup of the soul type of stories. And one mom said, it was speaking of adoption, says to her daughter, she said, "You weren't born in my womb." She goes, "But you were born in my heart." And I think that's even all the more important, but maybe that's God's plan. God knows, we know in society today that there's children that need parents. I was watching a reel that was on social media, and this was a couple months ago, and it was like an old, like Maury Povich show, you know, where they had on there Remember the back in the day they had, what was that show? It was Scared Straight, where you have a drill sergeant come in and he gets in the face of the kids and he yells at them and tells them, you know, that he's going to hurt them if they ever talk back to their mom again and stuff. This lady brought this 10-year-old son. She was a single parent, brought him in. He was a man trapped in a 10-year-old body, and he was a pistol, and she couldn't control him. He was out of control. So she brought him there on the show, and he's standing there, and this drill sergeant is in his face, and he's going, I don't ever want you to talk back to your mom again. If I hear that you talk back to your mom again, you're going to have to deal with me. Do you want to deal with me? And he's just down there in his face, this little 10-year-old boy, and he's standing there. And then the drill sergeant says something. He goes, do you want me to be your daddy for the next 8 years of your life? And he stops and he looks up at him and he goes, yes, sir. And the drill sergeant goes, what? And he gets down and he goes, do you understand? He goes, do you want me to be your daddy for the next 8 years of your life? And he goes, yes, sir. And then he bends down and he goes, son, he goes, why do you want me to be your daddy for the next 8 years? And he goes, I have no daddy. And I was like, I'm watching this. I don't know if you do this. I'm watching reels on Instagram crying. My wife, what are you doing? Watching the male Hallmark channel so I can get away with it. I'm looking at this thing and I'm just crying. I'm like, okay. But I'm like, dang, it just rips your heart out. But what he did was amazing. He didn't like on the show any longer speak to the kid. He puts his arm around, he whispers to him, and he takes him behind the camera so the camera can't film anymore. And my hope to God was, but I can tell you this, my hope was that man made a commitment to that boy. Yeah, for the next 8 years, I'm in your life. But even if he didn't, I know this happened. There were more calls into that television station going, send that kid to me. I will take care of that boy. I will love on that boy. Why? Because God's placed it in people's heart to do that. And I love that. And maybe that's what God has done. He saved you and he hasn't given you children, but he will give you someone else's children. And what a beautiful thing. And then the last thing, and maybe it's the most difficult, but God has other plans and higher plans for your life. You go, higher plans than bringing children to this world. And you go, oh yeah, think of all the women. I think of a Proverbs 31 woman. And you think about, we go, she can't own a business. You go, all that God speaks of there with a man being over a woman is in teaching, in the instruction, in the church. You read Proverbs 31, this woman is a businesswoman. She's making things happen. You look in the corporate world today, there are many women that are running companies and doing an amazing job. You go, because they use all their brain. I'm sorry, guys, we use one side and we hire other people to represent the other side. But women, they're more balanced in their approach and they do a wonderful job. And so maybe God's set you up to do things in business to alter the world. Maybe that's coming up with a scientific study, research. Maybe my favorite of all the things is how many women missionaries there are in the world today, going into third world countries where there's children that have no parents and are stepping in and loving and nurturing and caring, being the very thing that God created you to be by design, a carer and a nurturer. And again, I just share those things with you because I know Mother's Day can be difficult, and maybe not for you, but maybe you know somebody who's struggling and maybe this will help you minister to them. I like what the Jewish proverb that says God couldn't be everywhere, so he made mothers. And even you think about how Jews looked upon women, that's quite a statement there to recognize the influence that a woman, that a mother has in the life of her children. Even more, this quote that said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And it's such an amazing truth when you think about that, the influence of a mother over the life of her children. It reminded me, I grew up in a sports home and I'd seen this clip. There was a professional athlete who had a son that went on to play football. And they were talking to this dad about his son who had started to do really well in sports. And he was telling this story about going to his son's first real competitive game that was going to be televised and stuff. And he said, yeah, I raised my son. He said, I took him to all his practices. And he goes, I taught him how to throw. I taught him how to run. I taught him all these skills. And they go, and we got to the game. He said, me and his mom were sitting there and he had a wonderful game. He scampered for a long touchdown. After the game was over, the media comes up to him and they're just like, man, let's recap the game. They're walking through the game with him and stuff. And he's like, yeah, this and this. And I did this play. And then the reporter ended it with, do you have anything else to say? He looks right in the camera and he goes, I love you, Mom. And the dad's going, what? She never went to one practice. I have to drag her to the game. What is the, I love you, mom. And there was a psychologist that was sharing about that. He goes, because moms are connected to their children in every facet and form, not just emotionally, physically, spiritually. And this kid was enjoying a great emotional moment there. And the first person that came to his mind wasn't his dad, who invested these things in it, was the emotional connection that he had with his mom. So it always reminds you that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so moms, just want to encourage you with the influence that you have. You might not feel like you have that influence, but you really do. And I'll share something a little bit later on. Hopefully that'll encourage you as well in that. When I love in counseling, when women will come to the office and I'll learn a little bit about them and they'll say, I'm married. And I go, hey, do you have any kids? And they go, yeah. And immediately all of a sudden they go, I say, hey, you got a picture? And they're like, and they're, it's like their face lights up, their eyes dilate. Man, they're in their wheelhouse now talking about their kids. And they might be there actually with a hurt with regard to their kids, but there's a joy that comes with being able to talk about their children and the love that they have for them. It reminds me of, again, it was a scary thing growing up. I hated it as a young boy. How many that you'd have to be my age or older probably to remember this, but your mom or grandmother had pictures and they were in those plastic thing, accordion things, and you could buy them in 12s, 24, 36, and the big one, the 48 picture, which by the way, meant you could put one on the backside of it as well. So you end up with 96, right? And you, and the woman goes, hey, have I shown you pictures of my children? I'd be with my mom. No, because they're not just pictures. What goes with the picture? A story, right? Every picture has a story, right? But moms, again, this is just part of who you are. It's the nurturing, the caring, the loving. Now, I have met with many a woman who come in that are suffering what we would call empty nest syndrome. Okay. To this date, not one guy has ever come to the office and said, Pastor Mike. Now, no, seriously, I have had never a man come in and go, hey, I'm suffering from empty nest syndrome. I have had men come and go, hey, we're having an open house next week. My kid went to college. I just finished my man cave and get him. I go, wow, we are just wired a little bit different. It's a good thing and all that. But you understand pain in the heart of a mom. It goes all the way back to the very beginning, the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, pronounce the curse that would be upon woman there in Genesis 3:16. You read that. You don't need to turn there. But he said to the woman, he said, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. And in pain, you will give birth. It says, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. You're going to have relational pain with your kids, with your husband. There is just pain. Now, this is the interesting thing. I've had women come to me, write me, email me, and go after service, go, ha, Pastor Mike, that's not me. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they go and they explain. They go, I heard you sharing about your wife that when she was, you know, going through pregnancy, she did it the natural way. So she had 24 hours of hard labor. I'm like, yeah. I go, and that wasn't the half of it. It was like 18 hours for Bree. Brett was like 15 minutes. They got mad at us. We waited so long to go. And then with Brandon, it was probably the worst because Brandon, our youngest, he was 8 pounds, 15 ounces, but his head was 8 pounds. His body was like 15 ounces. And I thought, my wife's going to die. The pain that she went through to bring him into the world and the pain that he caused her. No, I would tell him, I go, hey, but I've shared this and all men would agree with me 100%. If it was up to men to have babies, we'd be extinct. We'd be in heaven by now because there'd be no other generation, right? We would not go through it. It's just not worth it. But Bible scholars will tell us, though, what's interesting in this is, and I share with these moms, I go, it's not that you had an epidural or a spinal block and you got through the pregnancy. No, the pain of childbearing comes with the reality that you can have kids. I have yet today ever have heard a single woman come to me and say, Pastor Mike, I just want you to know, I love having a menstrual cycle. It's probably one of the things that I love most about life. You go, no, that your body as a woman changes every single day of the month. And you go, why? And you go, because it's part of your ability to have children. And then to think about it, you go, did the pain stop at birth? You would love for that. You go, how many parents have I sat with, moms and dads alike, and go, my child is breaking my heart. They're ripping my heart out by the way that they're acting and still to do what? To get up every day and to love God and to love your family, to serve God, to serve your family. You go, it's worthy today of men and women alike, mothers alike in this place, is to honor moms and say, thank you. We don't see it all. I share this all the time. If we were really sensitive to each other in the truest sense, it doesn't matter. We look at certain people and we go, oh, they're doing good. They're doing good in different areas of life. But there's not anybody in this sanctuary, anybody that I ever met in my life that goes through this life unscathed, that we basically, and I love that expression, it says, be kinder than necessary, for everybody you come in contact today is fighting an uphill battle. There is some area of our life, and that's the beauty of what church should always be about, that we're here to glorify God, but the best way that we glorify God is what? By the way that we treat one another, that you would come here into fellowship and that we would pray for one another, that we would encourage one another, we'd say, hey, stay in there. I know that it hurts. And we wouldn't come as what Jesus says, don't come as the Pharisee, don't come as the hypocrite wearing a mask and pretend to be something that you're not. Everybody hurts. So even on Mother's Day, even some for the best moms that you would think, if you talk with them, they go, yeah, there's pain that comes with that. And appreciate, and so to take the time to recognize and to honor our moms that are with us today, because again, there's pain that comes with it. I love this expression that says, a father takes notice when his child breaks a bone, whereas a mother notices when her child skins a knee. Man, that's so true. We look at, no mom ever came up with the expression, walk it off, put some dirt on it. My dad all the time, my daughter broke her ankle right out here in the quad when the church was first built. We had trees out there where the awning is. They actually, you could drive through here all the way around. And she was climbing a tree and she slipped and fell and she was laying there and I thought, oh, she's just being a big baby. And I said, well, what? And she goes, no, I don't think you did. I think you just hurt. We end up taking her to the doctor. Oh, they broke her ankle, got to put a cast on it. She's looking at me like, sorry. So from that point on, it's like anything she did, just, Dad, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. It could be broken. I already went that route. No, but it's so important that we understand that scripture, even for the moms that God used mightily, Eve had a son that what? He murdered his brother. We're not going to go through this life unscathed. You think about Rebecca had a son who was a deceiver and he had to flee so his brother wouldn't kill him, right? You think about things that happen within families. Leah had to come alongside her daughter Dinah because she was raped and her husband did nothing about it. Just, you see these things in scripture. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what she suffered through, having to watch her son who was completely innocent suffer for the sins of the world. Luke chapter 2, and you don't need to turn there. I'm just giving you some verses today to think through. Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, it says, then Simeon blessed them. You remember when Jesus was born, they took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, to have him circumcised. And Simeon prophesies over him. But when he takes Jesus into his hands, he says something that's so beautiful. He said, I can now die in peace. I can depart in peace. He goes, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He so trusted in God's word, which I want to encourage all of us, trust in God's word. Even though Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet, Simeon was going, I can die right now because I know God is faithful to his word. And this Messiah is going to save us. He's going to save us. And he did. But look what it says there. It says, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Now, there's all kinds of debate. What does that mean? A sword will pierce your very soul. I think one of them was standing at the foot of the cross, wouldn't you? Watching a sword go right through her son's side. There's no parent that, especially a mom, when your children are suffering, that you're suffering right along with them. You feel, and I'm going to get into that in a moment, you feel exactly what they feel. Sometimes we call it a mom's, what, intuition. And there's something so beautiful about that connection, again, that exists between mother and child, not like father and child. Again, I've always appreciated this when you think about church statistics. It's changing through the years because society's changing. But there was a time when Christmas was the most packed service in the life of a church. People just come on Christmas to be in church. Then the second largest attendance day was Easter Sunday. The third was always Mother's Day. Because you always had moms, and I'd hear this all the time, especially as a youth pastor, when I was doing youth ministry, moms, they'd tell their kids or tell them, they go, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? I just want you to come to church with me. I want you to sit with me in church. Oh, not that I'll go, but I'm not sitting by you, you know, in church. And it was just that thing of, and then his parents passed away and kids then come back to the Lord and you go, so what happened? And they go, oh man, my mom, she always drugged me to church on Mother's Day. And I go, did you hate it? And they go, yeah, but not really. It was just, I know my, that's what mattered to my mom. I go, she wants to see you. And there's nothing that brings me greater joy than after a mom has passed away and a child comes into my office and they go, I just blew it, Pastor Mike. They go, my mom prayed for me and then I got saved and she didn't get to see me get saved. And I'm like, yeah, she did. Yeah. I go, who do you think's going to be knocking Jesus over to get him out of the way when you walk through the gates of heaven one day? I go, it's going to be your mom in there. I go, the first person you're going to see is Jesus. And the second, it's going to be your mom. I go, no, that's the beauty of it. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he believes in me, he'll never die. I go, she just wanted you to be in heaven and you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be with your mom. Keep walking and you will see her again one day. And that mother's love, how tight that is. You think about in our lives. Now, one of the things that was interesting about that, you know, when you think about Simeon's statement there, and he says, a sword will pierce your very soul. It was Eusebius, a church historian. He said that in a letter that was written to James, the half-brother of Jesus, that it was stated, and we can't know this for fact, but again, it's just through history. There is a letter that exists that stated that Mary actually died by the sword. See, I was raised Catholic. In our eyes, she just, like Enoch, she just went up. But you go, well, no, she died. But how did she die? Again, one states that she died at the sword. And I don't know if that was the case here, but I think we all understand that, yeah, a sword pierced her own soul watching what she, not only what Jesus went through, what she went through. Think about this, being chosen of God to bring forth the Messiah into the world, a virgin birth. You know what she was called her whole life, that she had a baby basically out of wedlock. And so it took 33 years. Think about this. From the time Jesus was born to the time of the resurrection for her to finally be vindicated. She lived with that sword every single day. And she did it willingly. She did it knowingly. God didn't just say, oh, you're not going to know what's going on. No, he told her in advance. She had to make a choice. But that's the heart of a mother, the sacrifice that we make for others. And I look at this again, and really where it started leading me to, you know, we think about the sacrifices of her. As I started looking at Mary's life, so I went to, you don't need to turn there, but you might write this down and go study it. I don't know if you're into numerology at all in the Bible. I'm not so much into numerology, but this grabbed my attention like nothing else had. It was in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. So I started going through the genealogy of Mary. It's actually, it says Joseph, but it's Mary's line. It's the bloodline of Jesus that goes not through Joseph because he's the earthly father, right? But by adoption. So it's Mary's bloodline that starts there and goes all the way back to God, where it all begins, to Adam. Then Adam was created by God. And, you know, you have Matthew's genealogy, which goes from Joseph's side that goes back to Abraham. So it shows you the royal side or the royal bloodline, but you have the bloodline that takes Jesus back to God. The Father goes through Mary, not through Joseph. But what's interesting about that is if you read that in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, and you add them all up, you will come up with 77 generations. Now, that didn't really mean a whole lot to me at first, but I started looking through that there and then reading commentary on it. And obviously 77 is the number of God's perfect forgiveness. Think about that. God's perfect forgiveness is the number 77. We know this from Matthew chapter 18. Most of us, when we've read Matthew 18, we read Jesus speaks to Peter. Remember, Peter's like, how many times should we forgive? Seven? And Jesus says, no. In some of your translations, it'll say 70 times seven, which is 490. Some of your translations has an asterisk, and it says 77. 77 times being the number of God's perfect forgiveness. 77 generations that started with Eve and ended at Mary, perfect forgiveness came into the world at the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I started looking at that and I'm going, 77 generations. That's a lot of women who were faithful to the call of being a mom. Because if you go back, and this will help you put things into perspective, in the Old Testament, with the false gods, if you wanted to demonstrate your love for this false god, and this was a fake way that the enemy of our soul would try to trick us into this, was you would offer what to this false god? Your child, right? And it wasn't your last child. It was your firstborn child, right? And you would take that firstborn child and you would lay it on an altar and sacrifice, and you would kill that firstborn child. What if those women would have continued to do that all through the Old Testament? Could Jesus have been born? No. And then think about that in the New Testament with regard to Herod when he tried to kill all the babies, right? Every baby under two was to do what? Was to eliminate the ability for the Messiah to be born into this world. And so today, for me, like Mother's Day, wow, what a great opportunity to just, in a sense, to appreciate moms like we never have before. You go, because there were 77 generations of women who didn't go the way of paganism, like we see in our world today, abortion being what it is, to say that it's not a separate human life that's in you. It's just a blob. It's just a part of you. And you get to decide that. And women go, no, that's not this. Like Hannah, I understand this baby's on loan from God to me. And I've been entrusted with something. And can this thing break my heart? Can it hurt me? Can it disappoint me? And you go, yeah, all these things. But I love it. And Jesus and Peter having this dialogue there in Matthew 18. I want to read that too. He says, then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how often should we forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Like I said, and some of you, your Bible have an asterisk and it'll say 77 times there. And so I'm looking at this and I go, wow, where did that all begin? You go back to Genesis, right? We just read that. I'll go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Remember, at the fall of man, God speaks to the serpent, right? And he talks to the serpent and he says, and then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And he says, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, or her seed and your, you go, women don't have seeds. Men have the seed. They plant the seed. So you go, what he's talking about is the virgin birth here. This is talking about 77 generations from now, God's perfect forgiveness for the sin that Eve committed with Adam there in the garden would be taken care of by Jesus Christ being born into this world. He says, and he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And I thought, man, I'm reading this. I'm going, this is so awesome. Well, that's what Paul was saying in Galatians 4:4 when he says, and when the perfect time comes, right? When the right time came, it says God sent his son born of a, and what does your Bible say? Some of yours will say a bondservant. What that means is it's saying a slave. Mary made herself a slave of God. She gave up all rights and privilege herself and said, God, I'll be about your business. What an awesome thing for her to declare. It says, and Paul recognized that. And he says, and God sent his son born of a woman subject to the law. 77 generations later. And so as I was looking at this in Luke and then in Genesis, I had to go to 1 Timothy because it gave it as a cross-reference. I want you to turn there with me. I want to read this to you really quick. This leads me to where I want to go and end today here in this message, in hopes that for you moms especially, that it encourages you in a way that there's really nothing I can say or we could say to you. It'd be the Lord himself demonstrating to you something that he declares through his word here in 1 Timothy 2. And I don't know if you've ever studied it before this or read it before. I never had. And so it just really encouraged me to be able to bring it and encourage you with it. It's not something new from Scripture. It's just something I hadn't really paid a lot of attention. That's the beauty of studying God's word. You can go as deep as you want to go with it. Look what it says there, 1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. It says, and it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived. So what is he talking about there? What place in time is he making a reference to? The Garden of Eden, yeah. So you get that from the text, because commentators are going to jump away from this, and I'll explain it to you as we get into it. It says, the woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But now look what it says in verse 15. Very strange verse. It says, but women, and it's women now is in the present tense, is what it takes it in the language, it says, but women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith and love, holiness and modesty. Okay. So if you read that and you went, oh, so in order for a woman to be saved, she has to give birth to a baby. Is that what the text is saying? You go, no, that's not what the text is saying. But that's how people interpret. They go, that would go against everything in Scripture, that for by grace you've been saved through faith and not of works, which any man can boast. It is the gift of God, right? Now, what is he talking about then? You go, what he's talking about is the 77 generations. And I love how Guzik spells this out in his commentary. And he says, a better way to approach this passage is based on the grammar in the original Greek language. In the original, it says, she will be saved in childbirth. This has the sense, even though women were deceived and fell into transgression, starting with Eve, women can be saved by the Messiah whom a woman brought into this world. He goes on, he says, probably the idea here is that even though woman race did something bad in the garden by being deceived and falling into transgression, the woman race also did something far greater in being used by God to bring the saving Messiah into the world. And I thought, wow, that is so profound when you think about that. So again, she was saved in childbearing. She will be saved in childbearing. It was the fact that women were faithful in childbearing. 77 generations of giving birth and having children, bringing it to the very place that God had said in Genesis chapter 3, that would be the culmination of Jesus the Messiah being born into this world. And so it's that thing that you go, wow, we just take having babies for granted. God doesn't, though, and we should. We should celebrate the fact that you go, hey, thank you for your faithfulness. And then you look at today. You go, are babies still making a difference in the world? And you go, absolutely. Look at the cures that for disease, the inventions, ideas, life-saving things. Someone performs CPR. A woman comes up and she finds a guy passed out on the jogging path and she gives him CPR. You go, thank God she was born into this world. Amen. There's so many miracles that happen day in and day out through people on this planet. And so it's appreciating life. It's that understanding that, yes, that women came from man, but man comes through woman. Is to there'd be something that we would celebrate in our lives together here. So when I look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, now this is where it all landed here. It was about 2 months ago, and I was looking at it was a social media reel, and it was the reel, it was titled, and the doctor explained this, it was Feto Maternal Micro Chimerism. Feto Maternal Micro Chimerism. And it's this cellular phenomenon that occurs when a baby, when a woman becomes pregnant and has a baby that's developing in her womb, in the uterus there, that from the uterus through the lining of that uterus, there's cells that pass from the child into the bloodstream of the mother and then travel through the mother's bloodstream. And some of those cells are deposited in the mother's life along the way and then make their way back into the baby. And this continues to happen for 41 weeks. There's something that's so amazing about this. And I want you to think about this. So here is a baby that is being formed in your womb, and that baby becomes part of you. It's not that you're just part of it. It becomes part of you. This is where we get that concept of a mother's intuition, you feeling what your children feeling. And then the beauty of the concept here is, remember what the Word of God said, that she would be saved through the bearing of children. Now, I had never thought about this. I go, this was just another dimension. You tell me if you think it's a possibility, right? That here's what the doctor said. So I had to look this up. I had to keep reading it, go to different sites, listen to different doctors, find out, hey, is this legit? And you go, yeah, all of them agree. This is legit. So when this baby is being formed in its mother's womb, that the cells, they begin to develop in the baby, and those cells pass through the uterine wall into the bloodstream of the mother, they, again, attach themselves all through the body, especially, they said, in the brain, which is interesting. Your child is embedded in your brain, in your bones, in your skin. And again, just such a wonderful picture when you think about this. But here's the thing that fascinated me the most. They said, in moments of your life where you are ill or you are injured, the very first cells in your body that make their way to that injury are the cells of that fetus that was in your womb. And I thought, what? And the first thing that came to mind, she will be saved through the bearing of children. she'll be saved, the bearing of children. To that added a benefit, not the only benefit, but what a benefit. You go, could God do something like that? That part of the blessing of you bringing children into this world is at some point you go, I'll need my kids. We think about that. There's a time when our children, we see it modeled that they take care of their parents, right? We don't put them in a home and just send them off. And you go, no, I have a responsibility. And it's part of our system. It's the way that God created us to love and to care for one another. So later on in life, and then here's where really to me was, when you think of the grace of God, we know women that I have a daughter and a daughter-in-law that both have had miscarriages. And to think that those babies gave up those same cells, that those cells of those babies that they never got to know in this life also lead to their healing in this life. They're still part of them. If you've experienced abortion, same thing. Even though, again, and I look at the Eve like the same way. You think about abortion, and I think worse. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he said, where sin abounds, what? Grace does all the more. Grace does all more. That God used that baby, and maybe you'll find out that one day, this aborted, you know, fetus that was in your womb, that you got an injury, you got some illness, and you got saved from it, that the doctors can't even put their finger on, and you'll get to heaven one day, and it'll be that baby that was in your womb that God used to demonstrate his love and his grace for you. What the enemy meant for evil, what? God can turn it for good. And he does. But I was just, so I'm going through all this, and I was like, wow, God, you are just so amazing. And as I studied this, like I said, it was one of those things where I know that, just wrapping it up, you come to a place like this on Mother's Day, and like I said, that there's so many gamuts of emotion here. And you feel, and I want to say something, especially you moms, because it's where my wife is at. And so I'm more aware of that than I am where moms of young children are, even though I have kids that have young kids, their babies and stuff. And I get to praise God when they go home after spoil them and stuff. I rename them. I give them wild names. Like I call my youngest, I call her Bobcat. And I go, because she's like a Bobcat. She's wild. And I told my, that takes after my wife's side of the family. I was like, but I know where my wife's at. And there, even though we have grown kids, sometimes my wife longs for our kids. She's like, I was sharing with you, like I'll meet with women in my office and they'll go, Pastor Mike, I feel like being a mom and bringing babies into the world that was my wheelhouse. That's where I felt like that was my purpose. And you go, it was. It's not your only purpose, but it definitely was a purpose. And to miss that, there's nothing wrong with that, and to long for that, and the beauty and the joy that comes through that. And so my wife would share that. She'd say, sometimes I just feel like, gosh, it's just, you know, there's an emptiness that comes with that. And scripture says, and this is a difficulty with having boys and girls, you know, we have two boys and a girl, and my daughter is very close to us, and she's of all of our kids. And I get that, but that's part of being a woman. She's a nurturer. She cares. She's like her mom. It's just part of it. I'm not saying all women are that way, but fortunately in my life, we have that. But I have two boys. But the Bible says, and it's a hard thing, and this is probably one of the hardest things for moms, because you're the ones who suffer from it the most. Like I said, Dad, he goes on to the man cave. You're going, let's just keep the room preserved. They're not coming back. And you go, just keep it. Oh, honey, it's okay. But the Bible says, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. There's a uniqueness in that male relationship of establishing their home that is unlike that in a female relationship. And so moms, they got to go through all kinds of things. And so I saw this story and I laid there, and it's one of those things, like I said, I'm laying in bed and I'm reading it and I'm just crying because I could relate to it myself. And it just said this, it said goodbye. And maybe you're at that place today where your kids are grown and you're just, Mother's Day is not the happiest day because you remember how it was when they were all around. But this was something that I can validate this. It was titled Goodbye, and it was written by the mom. She said, she's speaking of her college-age daughter here. She said, she sang cheerily, skipping off to her new dorm room after giving me a light peck on the cheek, as though we were nothing more than acquaintances. A young woman, a college freshman, no longer my baby. Her casual parting, it stung me. Had she outgrown me? As I walked away, I was arrested by my child's voice shouting, Mommy, a word I hadn't heard in years. And before I could turn around, she was in my arms. Her face was buried in my neck. She didn't need to say anything. I knew then that she'd always be my little girl. And I'm laying there. I'm like, huh. Because I remember I'd shared this with you. I was 40 years old. I was in Canada. I had gone there to get the LASIK surgery because it was so much cheaper than getting it here in the United States. And it was my same doctor that I had here in Bakersfield. He had an office in Canada. And he said, just go to my office there. It's like 1/4. And so I went there. They botched my surgery. I didn't get any sedative at all. Really weird when you get a laser in your eye and you've had nothing, no sedative. So I come walking out of the thing and I'm in so much pain. And so we go back to our hotel room. And you know when you're in pain when you don't move. Like you watch sports, you'll see a guy flopping around on the ground. You go, he's hurt, but he's not really hurt bad. If you're hurt really bad, you do not move. You're just so afraid. I'm just literally laying there and tears are just flowing out of my face. And my wife just feels terrible. And she's like, honey, understand I'm 40 years old. And I love my mom, but I don't talk to my mom every day. I don't call her. And I love and appreciate that about people that do. But I call my mom every once in a while. I'd see her. But I'm laying there in that bed. And my wife looks at me and she goes, honey, is there anything I can do for you? And it just came out. And I go, I need to talk to my mom. And she looked at me and she got it right away. She goes, okay. So she dials my mom and hands me the phone. My mom goes, hey, sweetie, what's up? And I was like, Mom, I'm in so much pain. I just need to. And I start crying. I need to hear your voice. And my wife's crying. I'm crying. My mom's going, she goes, honey, it's okay. She goes, it's okay. I understand. She didn't have to say a word. She knew completely. And I was embarrassed. I was like, I'm 40 years old. What am I doing? Calling my mom, crying on the phone. But it was this neat moment. And when I see things like this, there's just something. And it took me back to that. And I hope you moms, you get this. It says she'll be saved through the bearing of children. And you think about that today, that there's something in you that God, that these aren't doctors that are Christians. These are scientists. And they're going, something in the cellular fabric of that baby passes through the wall of the uterus and it attaches itself all through the life of the mother. And when she needs healing someday, God will release those cells. She will be saved through the bearing of children. I just sat there and I said, God, you're so good. And then you make those connections that you go, wow, whatever. You do have those connections with your mom, whether you are living in denial of it, and some of your kids are. My prayer is they'll come back. They'll realize it like the prodigal, come to your senses and go home. But that you would know today that it's the faithfulness. Go back to that Luke 3, 77 generations of faithfulness. Women need to be celebrated today. They could have given up any time. I mean, looking around society, probably like us go, why should anybody bring a baby into this world? All the things that were going on. But they did. They did in hope. They did in hope that one day that Messiah would come. And he did. And guess what? He's coming back. And so again, I can't tell you moms how much I appreciate you even more this year, probably than ever before. Just like I said, studying through this and going, man, I know in our society and our culture, when I look at the things that are happening, I love sports and seeing what's happened to women's sports and how women are under attack again. And as men, that we would stand up. Why are we making all the women stand up and go to these things and go, hey, it should be men going, no, they should not have to compete against men. They are women and God created them that be. And we would love for them to stay that way and be everything that God wants you to be. And so I know that it's challenging. I know it's hard, but I pray today that this Mother's Day, God makes really special. He just takes something that was said and just massages it into your heart and that you understand your value and your worth today. Because I know I can say this for Larry and Ron and myself, we love you and are very honored by you. And we pray that God would just bless your socks off today. So I invite you to stand to your feet. Let me pray for you. Some of our ministry team will be down here after we're done. And then our youth are at the back door. They've got some items for you. Just a little way to be able to say that we love you and we appreciate you. Pray that your day is super special. Father, I thank you so much for days like this where we can not just love you, but to love, Lord, the people that you have created and placed in our life and who have blessed us and continue to bless us. Lord, we pray for the moms today. We pray for all the women in our church and we thank you for their contributions. We thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you for the things that they do behind the scenes that nobody sees except you. But Lord, you do see them. And Lord, you just, again, you bless them today. Bring the sweet memories to mind. Help them to forget the things of the past that, Lord, that aren't good. And to hold on to just the realization, the hope today that we have in Jesus because of the faithfulness of Eve and those 77 generations bringing Jesus into this world. And Lord, just the contribution that even our kids can make from this day forward. And again, help these moms, help these women, help us as men to raise up a godly generation. We're fully aware that every generation is close to extinction. This could be the last Christian generation unless we're faithful to raise up the next. And so, or what a responsibility you've given us. And so thank you for these families that are here today. Bless them all, men, women, children alike. Be glorified in our life, we pray this week in Jesus' name. We all agreed saying amen. 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 Let's worship the Lord as we